On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Come Monday, it'll be all right.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Yes, it is. Yeah, it is. I'm serious. I'm not kidding. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Oh, please hold your applause to the end of the show. Oh, please. Oh, please sit down. Oh, a standing ovation. Oh, my God. I can't believe it. Please sit down, please. Thank you so much. Wow. The applause is deafening. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, seriously, thank you. No, I don't deserve that. Please sit down. Stop it. Please sit down. Okay. Well, welcome to the show. Oh my God, I must stop, please. I don't deserve that. What do I deserve? I don't deserve that. Please sit down. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That was wonderful. Thank you so much. I know how to get your attention. All I have to do is just start the show and you'll applaud like crazy. When the show's over, I guarantee you won't have the same reaction. It's going to be quite different. Yeah, I know. That's what I'm going to do. I know. All right. Sit down, please. Please sit down. Okay. Fun with sounds, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for occupying my time accordingly. How are you? The only other thing I can do to get your attention is to hold up a cute little puppy dog.
Aww.
I know. I was watching TV yesterday. I don't remember what show it was because it's inconsequential to what I'm talking about. But I was watching a show and they went to a commercial break. And the first commercial that came on was this sad-looking dog that looked like it had been abused. And it had little puncture wounds. Oh, it was horrible. This cute little... And then that fades away. And then it comes up on a video of another puppy dog just looking emaciated. And, oh, it was just really awful. And I couldn't watch it. I couldn't watch it. Why do they do that? We are manipulated by images all the time. These marketers, and they think that they can manipulate us simply by showing us something. They create political commercials. Oh, the political commercials. I hate them. Stop trying to sway my opinion by telling me that, don't vote for her. She voted for executing humans. She voted for taking your limbs off if you parked in a tow-way zone. She voted for the immigrants to become and get free benefits and to get free health care. Don't vote for her. She's the devil. They call her Beelzebub as a nickname. Don't vote for her. It's awful. It's just, and it's probably not the case most of the time. I voted for the pipeline. She didn't vote for the pipeline. She voted for some of the pipeline. Not for the line, just for the pipe. It just gets so... I hate political commercial. They're trying to talk me into something using information that isn't really accurate. They can say anything they want in these political commercials about anybody. Do you know what? It's done. Nobody wants to be president anymore unless they're power hungry. Or Biden seems to be like really want to help people. But this power grab stuff for politics, oh my God, stop this. It's in the Constitution. You're not supposed to have people of who are seizing power. You're not supposed to have them. It's supposed to be citizens that really want to help out. That's not what it turned out to be. It was power-hungry egotists. That's who runs things and who runs for office. Oh, my God, what happened? I hate political commercials. I hate being swayed. I get mail. I get junk mail. Everything I get in the mail is junk. Even the bills are junk. I pay the bills, but they're still junk. But everybody wants me to donate to them. Everybody. Become a member of this. Be a member of this. Be a supporting member of this. Oh, my God. Stop it. Get off my back. Marketers, they're just on you 24/7. I went on Amazon because I wanted to buy something. My coffee maker died. It was a sad thing. We had a funeral and buried the coffee maker in my backyard along with the pot. Now, let me tell you a coffee maker story. I had a Cuisinart coffee maker. You know what it did? Made coffee. It was a coffee maker. Best word for that appliance ever. Appliances get down, man. They get down to what they are. What do coffee makers do? They make coffee. I have a toaster. You know what it does? It toasts things. I love that stuff. I love it when what it's supposed to do is part of the name of it. Anyway, so my coffee maker dies a horrible slow death. No, it actually the coffee maker is just fine. The pot got a little crack in it. A little crack in the glass in my glass coffee pot that comes and you have to have that coffee pot, otherwise the system doesn't work because it depresses upon the head of the coffee maker, so that the coffee, the drip into the carafe, you know, so it's specific. So I go online, I go on Amazon. Where else can you go? So I go to Amazon and I look up replacement carafe coffee pots for the Cuisinart coffee maker. The 10 cup pot, by the way, they're all different sizes. So I go on Amazon. The replacement pot is $30. Excuse me. Oh, I'm sorry, $29.99. It's close to $30 by a cent. $30 for a glass pot? How can that be? Is it handmade? Is it glass blown by somebody from Taiwan? I mean, my God. $30 for a glass coffee pot carafe? Then I start searching, just new coffee makers to come with a pot in a box. They're $30. Actually, it was $39.99, $40. It was Mr. Coffee. I know it's probably not the most effective brand in the world. But again, it's a coffee pot, Mr. Coffee. How could you be more specific than that? So I go online and I find it at $40 for the whole thing. Why would I buy an empty carafe for $30 when I can get the whole thing for $40? So I went to Walmart, which is where I go for everything that I don't want to wait for. And I find it and I buy it and it's making coffee really nice. But the next day, and for days to come, whenever I go online, And it doesn't have to be on Amazon, just on anything. And you're just looking up a motor vehicle department, whatever. On the right side, it's got ads for coffee makers. Hey, I bought one already. How do I tell them this? Get the coffee maker shit off my back. I already bought one. Stop hounding me. If you know that I'm looking for a coffee maker, then you should know that I already bought one somehow. They're hounding me. Everybody's hounding me and trolling me and following me and trying to sell me things. Everybody is. I'm watching a commercial for this Teflon. It's not Teflon. It's like non-stick pan system. You know, three different size of pans and a pot and non-stick. They won't tell me the price. All they'll tell me is it's four payments of $59.99. I can do math. That's over $200 for this thing, for this for these non-stick pans. But they don't tell you that. No, it's just $59.99 for 4 months, four installments. That's all. They're trying to trick me. They're trying to trick me. Everybody's trying to trick me. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. My local public television. I watch public television. I'm a member of the public. I watch it. It's good stuff. It's great concerts and some really good programs. But I keep getting these letters from them in the mail asking me to be a supporter. And I have no problem sending them like $20 or $30 once a year. No sweat off my ass, baby. I'll do it. I'll support you. I'll support you. But as soon as I did that, I started getting more letters from this public television thing asking me for more money. Now asking me to have my donation made on a monthly basis automatically through my credit card. Okay. Look. All right. This is getting ridiculous. Get off my back. You're not getting my credit card number. You're not getting my checking account number. Stop it. Just leave me alone. Oh, I feel like I'm the only one supporting this thing. I'm done. Everything's too expensive and ridiculous. For example, do you have a printer? Most people do. They have printers in their little home offices, whatever you call your little thing in your little room, in your little corner, your little home office. Most people have a printer to print stuff out, you know? Printers, an economic one, you know, costs you about $80-$90. That's it. It's all not expensive. Does a lot of stuff. It's only $80-$90. Now, you know, it's a lot of money, but for what it does, all right, I'll buy one. And, you know, it comes with a couple little cartridges of ink that last about 10 minutes. And then you run out of ink. Then you go to the store and you find out that the ink cartridges are about maybe $70-$80 for a set of a black cartridge and a colored cartridge. It's about $80. That's for the little, tiny, little containers of ink. The minuscule, little plastic, tiny little blocks of ink inside. Where do they mine this ink? Is it an Inca? Where is this ink coming from? Is it in the Himalayan tunnels of gold? How expensive can a little tiny vial of ink be? It's freaking ink. It's not some type of miracle medical serum or anything. It's ink. $80. Excuse me, that was about the price of a printer. So now, when I run out of ink, I don't buy ink cartridges. I just buy a new printer. What the hell's the difference? It makes no sense. I don't know. Stuff doesn't make any sense anymore. It doesn't. Big news item. I got to tell you something. I'm not into sports. I'm just not. They're fun to watch every once in a while. Other than that, I have a life. I don't know if you noticed. I have a life. Everybody does if they live it. But there are a lot of people, perhaps including you, who are in denial. Well, you know, I like sports too. You know, I like sports. I'm not into it. Yes, you are. You'll run home to watch a game that you really want to see all the time whenever your team is playing, no matter what team it may be. People are into sports in a passionate manner to the point where they've got to surround it by meals and food and beer. I mean, it's everything. It's the whole weekend. They get very, very upset when their team's not doing well. They get elated and out of their minds when they win a game. People riot in the streets when their teams win cups and titles and championships. They'll riot. They'll turn cars over because they're so happy. That's what we do with sports. It's crazy. You've probably heard in the news, there was an incredibly horrible event in a stadium in Indonesia. They're really into soccer. I mean, you go into the Europe and the Asia stuff. They're into soccer. Actually, they even call it football. They don't even know what it is. It's called soccer. They kick a ball around like cats playing with catnip. But the fans are so invested in their emotions that they go crazy. Well, what happened was there was a soccer game. The fans got very emotional, of which there are hundreds of thousands of them sitting in the stands. And they ran onto the field in a fit of emotion. And the Indonesian police, didn't know they had them, but they do. It was just pandemonium, so they used tear gas on the public that was running in the field. They panicked because of the tear gas, the soccer fans, who were acting very, very passionately stupid. And they start running toward the exit, of which there apparently are not a lot of. But in the area where the tear gas was thrown out by the Indonesian police departments, they ran to the nearest exit. People got trampled. 125 people died. 300 people were injured. That's a lot. It's a big thing, but that's how passionate they are with their sports in Indonesia. Who knew? Who knew? You think I'm going to a sporting event in Indonesia? No. No. First of all, it's not just around the corner. It's not easy to get to. Secondly, no. Being trampled to death is not on my bucket list. Human beings get very, very caught up in their sporting events. And when you look at it, that's just absurd. It's absurd. Human beings get more caught up in sporting events than they do in how their countries are run and what's happening. It's this mindless delving into a game. This passionate delving into nothing but a game. I don't understand it. I mean, again, I watch sports every once in a while, here and there, if it seems to be an interesting event, but I don't go crazy over it. I don't salivate. Some people do. Here's what I don't understand about American sports, especially football, which is, it used to be baseball, now it's football that's the big sport in this country, as you probably know, because Alexa told me so on, you know, when I asked her. Here's what I don't understand. I live in the Boston area. Tom Brady, for what seemed to be 120 years, was a quarterback for the New England Patriots. While he was, they won the championship just about every single freaking year for the past 10, 15 years. They had a team of people that you couldn't really beat. And a lot of the country hated the Patriots because they were so successful. Successful coach, successful quarterback, successful players. Then one day, Tom Brady says, "Nah, I'm going to change teams. I'm moving to Tampa." He does, and he starts winning games down there and championships. Were the people in Boston pissed? No. No. Where was your passion? I was pissed. I didn't care. I mean, I didn't run out in the streets and start screaming, but I couldn't understand. When you have something incredibly successful, why do teams and people fuck it up? Why? Tom Brady's salary was probably $73 million a year. I don't know what it was. It could have been that. But he gave it up because he could make, instead of $73 million a year, he could make $75 million a year. At that point, what the hell's the difference? So he changed teams. I don't understand, if a team is incredibly successful, winning championships every year, why would somebody leave it? Why would a player say, "Nah, I'm going somewhere else for more money"? How much more money do you need? Are you eating well? Are you living in a mansion? Do you have 15 cars? Are you married to a model? What the hell do you want? What do you want from me? Can you imagine if that team just never changed and they kept getting better and better because they were so familiar with each other? Year after year, decade after decade, the only reason to leave would be retirement. Why would you change teams for more money? Aren't you making enough? Apparently Tom Brady's wife, Giselle McKenzie or something or whatever, I don't know what the hell it is. That's somebody else, I guess. She was saying, "You know, you're not home enough." Oh, well, who's paying for your home, Giselle? And everybody's saying, "Well, if I were married to Giselle, I'd be home all the time in the bedroom." Yeah, you probably would, but you'd be bored off your ass eventually. I mean, you people were made by God in order to entertain other people. Accept your place, please. That's why you exist. Do what you're supposed to do. So I don't get this Tom Brady guy. The hell's in your mind? What's in your mind? Were you sick of the climate in New England and you wanted some warmer weather, so you moved to Tampa Bay? $73 million, babe. I mean, what was your problem? What successful on the top of your game would have been in the dictionary under the word football. Why did you leave? Why did you do that? I don't get it. I simply don't understand. Probably a real sports football aficionado could correct my thought pattern and explain to me why that did occur. But why do people screw up a good thing in the name of money or power or whatever? I mean, that sports dynasty could have ended the dynasty of all sports dynasties, but they just changed. Because Brady, I don't know, had a little itch in his crotch or something. I have no idea. A momentary brain fart. I don't know. And that's why I don't understand sports. That's why I don't get it. And that's why I don't watch it. It's arbitrary. It means nothing. It means nothing. My wife said something very interesting one day, and I totally realized she doesn't get sports at all. She said to me, why, if a team wins a championship, what's the point? The next year they have to win it all over again. When you win something, isn't that it, and then you're done? I said, no, I don't think you get the theory behind sporting events. But then on the other hand, I thought, nah, there's really nothing to get here. I mean, you don't really have to understand it because it's not that important. It's a little scary. I got to tell you, it's a little scary to watch, guys especially, but girls do it too, at a sports bar. By the way, every bar that ever in existence has turned into a sports bar. They're no longer cocktail lounges or bars. They're sports bars. Every bar has TVs all over the place, always playing sports. I don't know why. I don't see any news program bars. I don't see any situation comedy bars. You know, if a bar took its TV and put trivia on a TV, people would be engaged in that, or game shows or something. But no, it's always sports. Everything's a sports bar. Sports bras, sports bars, same word, same three-letter word, just the letters are arranged differently. Sports bar, sports bra, same letters involved. I don't get it. I just don't get it. So I see these guys and sometimes these girls, where there's a sporting event and they're really into it, and they'll scream at the TV and shout and argue about who's the best player and their stats he's the best player. No, hell, go outside. I'm going to rip your face off because you don't know what you're talking about. Oh, you don't think I know what I'm talking about? Oh, you want a piece of me? You want a piece of me? Yeah, I'll take a piece of you. I'll take that piece over there. No, not that piece. Take another piece of me. Outside. Let's go outside. Well, we can't fight in here. No, let's fight outside. It's nice outside. It's sunny and the weather's nice. Let's fight outside. I'll see you outside. All right, fine. It's scary. It's scary how emotionally involved and boisterous they get and shouting and screaming over a sporting event. That's out of control. That's emotions out of control. That's dysfunctional. It's abusive. Don't yell at people over a sporting event. Who the hell cares? There's more important things in life than that. Excuse me. So I just don't get it. Again, I don't hate sports, but I don't enter into the emotions of it with such incredible fury and argumentative involvement. That's scary. That's a little too much. It's a little cultish, if I may say. If I may say that. And that's my view of sports. I called up, I have Comcast. I'm embarrassed to say it. I can't believe it. I feel like I should be at an intervention. Yes, hello, my name is Ron. I pay the Comcast bill. I know I'm stupid. I called Comcast and I said, look, my bill is out of control. How do I lower my bill? And I can't. I said, I don't watch sports. Get all the sports channels off of my roster. I don't watch sports. I'm not into sports. If I couldn't watch sports, I wouldn't mind. Or I'll watch sports on network television, you know, where it would be if it was really important. But I don't need sports channels and 55 basketball channels and 72 baseball channels. I don't need to watch Little League Baseball coming out of Taiwan. I don't need that. That should lower my bill, because I see on my bill I'm getting all kinds of charges for sports channels. I don't watch the sports channel. I'm sorry, Mr. Van Dam. That's not separate. But that's half the channels that you're offering, and I don't watch them at all. I'm sorry, Mr. Van Dam. I don't know. It makes no sense. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of time for today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace.